This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex Bregman signs with the Boston Red Sox. What best characterizes your feelings when you hear that news? And you know, more than one thing can be true. I said if I had to really characterize it, it was relief. Relief that we don't have to, you know, continue to talk about a story where there's no new news, but also relief that they won't be making a long-term financial commitment to a player that I have some doubts of whether or not he'd be worth it, although 100% he would make next year's team better, this coming season's team better. And so it was kind of a balance. Short-term deal would have been great. He took a short-term deal in Boston and has opt-outs after every year. It felt like the long-term offer Detroit made is what made Detroit a player in this. But there is great news in all this, and that is green lighting of $171 million spend on a player means that they could green light that on other players and other resources and other guys in the organization that could be shored up as well. I would have to think that having this money, there's no cap, but there's a budget. Having this money to spend come the trade deadline is going to be, and with all the resources and the depth they have in the organization and the coveted prospects, they become a prime team to buy. As long as their play justifies it. Now they just need to go out and justify it.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about all the time how important it is to have young players on your roster because they don't eat up a whole ton of salary.
Yep.
I feel like within 3 years, this team is going to be littered again with younger players as they're ready to matriculate to the majors. And it will allow them to spend big on a few big-time players because they'll have the guys like, well, Cole Keith's already signed long-term, and that you know, Max Clark could be ready to go in 3 years, and McGonagall ready to go in 3 years, and, you know, we'll see where they with Lorenzo and Jose Briseño or any of these young players that they have that are really, really coveted at this point.
But you've got things like the Bryce Rainer kid and McGonagall, both shortstops. Did one of them get moved in a trade deadline deal? It feels to me like there's a bit of repetitiveness with Briseño and Lorenzo. If Lorenzo's truly a catcher, he might be a first baseman. And if they decide he's a first baseman, maybe they move on from one of them.
Yeah, Lorenzo looks like he's more of a catcher.
Briseño
is a first baseman DH type.
Yeah, if Lorenzo is truly a catcher and not a first baseman, then that doesn't mean there'll be repetition there. But you could see how they can get into their depth a little bit, move a guy, and get a useful player at the trade deadline. And there'll be accessibility to more than just like one really good player.
Yeah.
One would imagine. And that's why I'm kind of excited about this news. We got ownership and a president that have made the commitment to spending the money. They'd already made one commitment, so there's no reason to believe they wouldn't make another. Again, as long as the team's got to go out and justify it. All right, Gator. Final list, top 10 NFL free agents and predictions on where they would land. Okay? One of them lands in Detroit. We'll work our way through these, though. T. Higgins, wide receiver, prediction, L.A. Chargers. Offensive guard, Trey Smith, prediction, Chicago Bears. Wide receiver, Chris Godwin, prediction, Jacksonville Jaguars. Safety, Javon Holland, prediction, Buffalo Bills. Wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, prediction, Houston Texans. Quarterback, Sam Darnold, prediction, Las Vegas Raiders. Running back Aaron Jones, prediction. Denver Broncos. Quarterback Russell Wilson, prediction. Pittsburgh Steelers. Cornerback Carlton Davis, prediction. New York Jets. That's nine of these guys. So, who's coming to Detroit according to this prediction? Cornerback DJ Reed was with the Jets last year. And here's what is written in this USA Today article by Nick Birkenhoff.
So they describe him as the 10th best free agent available.
No, I just worked my way. I saved him till the end.
Thank you.
Yeah. And look, I don't know that all these guys I would consider top 10 free agents, but here's what he writes. Reed has been in the shadows of Sauce Gardner the last few seasons, but the cornerback had been a star for the Jets during his time there. He was ready to move on after a frustrating season. Reed told Tyler Dunn of Go Long, with the Jets eager to build a new culture under head coach Aaron Glenn, he's essentially guaranteed to suit up for a different team next season. The cornerback could instead land with Glenn's former employer, who'll be on the hunt for some secondary help this offseason. Injuries derailed the unit at the end of the season, opening the door for Reed to pair with Terron Arnold. Carlton Davis had a great season in the Motor City, but could move on with Glenn leaving town. Okay, so last year, this guy will turn 29 during the season. Last year, the top corners that signed free agent deals, the biggest deals went to Chidobe Awuzie, who went from Cincinnati to Tennessee on a three-year, $36 million deal at 28. And Kenny Moore, who went stayed in Indy on a three-year, $30 million deal at 28. I think that this is the kind of money that you could get a deal for a player like this done. If it's in the same ballpark, $12 million, $10 million. I mean, didn't Carlton Davis just finish a one-year, $14 million deal?
It wasn't a deal. They traded for him.
But I think he was on the contract is what I mean.
Yes,
he just finished out of 1 year.
14.
They paid $14 million on the player. But let me just double check that and make sure what they were paying him at his annual salary. How would you feel about this?
I don't know. I don't really know a ton about DJ Reed other than looking at statistically. And the thing that jumps out at me is that he's 5'9". And playing corner in the NFL 5'9" is tough. And if he's done well at that, okay. Is he a slot corner? Is he a true corner? He's missed five games over the last 2 years. It's just going to happen. He's getting closer to that 30-year age that you get a little concerned about. I don't know if I'd be thrilled with this for that kind of money. I mean, knowing what Brad Holmes has done with his signings, this I wouldn't imagine this would be a multi-year deal, that this would be something like a one-year deal.
Yeah, it's kind of his pattern is lock up the players that you've drafted long-term and free agents just fill in the gaps.
I mean, I'd be more interested in – and what's interesting is you said Carlton Davis going to the Jets.
Yep.
Okay, so then I guess that you're assuming – not you, but the author is assuming that – Carlton Davis is going to go for money because the Jets are a horrible team. They're a horrible franchise. Yes, it's going to play for Aaron Glenn, which is good, and there could be coming back, but I still think the Jets are a couple years away. Would Carlton Davis want to stay with Detroit? Is this where that fabled hometown discount comes? Does he want to stay here, run it back here for a couple years at $14 a year?
So here's what ESPN says about DJ Reed. They have him ranked as the fourth best corner available. Reed is a highly competitive coverage corner with pass press man traits and the transition speed to break on the throw. More of a ball disruptor than playmaker over his career. He has 40 pass breakups compared to 6 interceptions. Reed should be viewed as a scheme versatile corner who can fit in multiple NFL systems. And Jeremy Fowler says, several teams we polled agree Reed is the top corner in free agency. Roughly 10 teams have a glaring need at that position. You know, I think you're right about what Brad Holmes wants. Will the player sign? I don't even know whether it's hometown discount or winning team discount, right? I mean,
right.
DJ Reed, who spent his last three seasons with the Jets, want to go for a Super Bowl? But the same applies to Carlton Davis. Does he want to play for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, or do they want to play for a longer-term contract, get some security? Because they're at that point in their careers, they got to start. I'd think about that. That might be more important to me than anything else.
And then there's the Aaron Glenn factor. Does Aaron Glenn, how did Aaron Glenn feel about Carlton Davis? And is that a feeling mutual? And do they just become locked, you know, connected at the hip there? 248-539-9797. You want to get in on that? Would you be in favor of DJ Reed? Would you try and bring back Carlton Davis? USA Today predicting that DJ Reed will land in Detroit. Also, the Bregman story still out there. He indeed is not coming to Detroit. What best characterizes your feelings when you hear that news? Disappointed, relief, meh. My favorite one was meh so far. Incredible highlight last night in the Piston game. I want to talk about. Actually, there are a few of them. We'll get to those before the hour is done. Also, Gator saw someone last night that, well, he didn't see him personally. Saw him on TV. He said, that man, when you met him in person or saw him in person, you were starstruck.
Yep.
We'll get to that today at 11:18. Want to have a healthier new year? Start by giving your family the best water available just by contacting CGC Water. This month, save $500 on a Kinetico Premier softener and get a free Kinex salt monitor with purchase. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. If you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Don't be the filter. CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing can also take care of all your plumbing needs. Save 10% off on any water heater from CGC Water. Your authorized independent Kinetico dealer, 855-339-4242. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Coming up a little bit later, A.J. Hinch joined the morning show. We'll play the best of what he had to say. So, Tigers, well, they got a lot to sort out this spring training, like what their lineups are going to look like against righties and lefties. There's a huge degree of flexibility. And as A.J. Hinch said in an update, you might have heard a lot of times to figure out how the puzzle pieces are going to fit together. But a lot of players with a lot of position flexibility that we'll see how it shakes out at third base. And I like the idea of them taking a huge budget potentially to the trade deadline. Could be fun. Could be fun. Hopefully the team justifies being a buyer. In the meantime, did you watch the Four Nations thing last night?
I did. Yeah. I did. I watched the pregame stuff, saw the national anthems, and watched a lot of the game. I watched a lot of the Pistons game too. So there was I took maybe a period and a half off of the hockey. I saw Canada got up to a 2-0 lead, and then when I came back to it, I think it was 3-2 Canada, and then I watched Sweden tie it up, go to overtime, and that 3-on-3 overtime was great.
Yeah. But it was during a pregame you saw somebody that you you were starstruck when you were in this person's presence.
Yeah. So before the game, the Four Nations are out there, and they wanted to bring back a legend from those Four Nations to come represent the country while also introducing the captains of those four teams.
Yeah.
So I was curious what they were going to do with Sweden to see if Lidström was going to be there or not. I didn't read anything ahead of time. Maybe this is already common knowledge, but it was Daniel Alfredsson. And then for Finland, it was Teemu Selanne. I love Teemu Selanne. Back when I was reporting for the station and covering the Red Wings on a daily basis, Teemu was one of the coolest guys ever. Just really, really friendly, really nice. Took his time. He was great. Mike Richter for the United States was announced, and to my surprise, he wasn't booed. Okay. Then they announced Austin Matthews, the captain of the American team, who was booed mercilessly because this was being played in Montreal and obviously the Montreal-Toronto rivalry.
Yep.
But when they introduced the legend from Team Canada, and it was Mario Lemieux.
Yep.
And from Quebec, the province of Quebec, and the crowd went nuts for him. Standing go, heroes welcome, the whole bit. And you know, I had chills down my spine a little bit. Mario Lemieux is the guy that when I saw in the elevator at the Joe Louis Arena back in 2009, I think it was, when we're getting ready to go up towards the press box.
I was with you.
And or at least up to the suite level. And we get into the elevator, and there's like five of us in the elevator. And Mario Lemieux is one of them. And here he is, 6'4", Mario Lemieux. I was starstruck. And I did not expect myself to have that reaction to seeing Mario Lemieux. You know, to this point, I'd been around a bunch of Hall of Fame-type players in all sports. Why Mario affected me, I'm not sure. But he did. I was like, oh. Mario, I kind of elbowed you. I'm like, Mario Lemieux right there, you know? It was awesome. So to see him again last night, it's like, wow, okay, I get it. There's a rivalry, Pittsburgh-Detroit, but Mario was not a player in those rivalries, so I can absolutely positively respect the player and the great player that he was and what he had gone through. I mean, I don't know, people forget, the guy took a year off because he had cancer.
Right.
Came back and was the best player in the NHL still. I mean, this is a guy who played in the Gretzky era and was putting up crazy numbers like Wayne Gretzky did. And if he had been able to stay healthy, who knows? But he still goes down as one of the probably top five NHL players of all time. So in his presence, I was starstruck.
Happened once with me where I interviewed somebody on the sidelines at a Michigan game and noticed that my hand was shaking a little bit. And I'm like, don't. Like, this is pathetic. Because that's not well hidden when you're interviewing somebody. Right. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Remember when?
Yeah, I was totally fanboying out. It was Derek Jeter.
Oh.
Yeah, Derek Jeter was at the 2006 Michigan-Ohio State game. That was my first year on the sidelines. That was undefeated, number one versus number two down in Columbus. And he was on the Michigan sideline, and I fired off 2-3 questions for him between plays. And I'm amazed like that, you know, there's no producer down there. I mean, it's just me. So I have to go up, Derek, can we get a few questions for Michigan radio? Cause I knew he was a big Michigan guy, but I was still a bit starstruck.
Yeah. I can understand it.
Yep. So, and it's amazing though. Like my buddy, I always told the story about my buddy, Tom, in the press box at,
with Brent Musburger.
Yeah, with Brent Musburger, where, you know, I was like, okay, look, we've got two credentials. You're going to hold the camera for me after the game. We're going to do some stuff. So usually it's...
This was at Spartan Stadium.
Yeah, right? It was at Spartan Stadium. Usually I was the shooter and we had a reporter with. There was no reporter that day. So I brought the camera and Tom was going to, you know, hold it for me later when I was shooting stand-ups and stuff. But I had to tell him, in the press box, you're going to see people you know and recognize. You can't fanboy out. Please do not. Do not. You cannot. You just have to act normal. You're going to see somebody, you're going to be all excited, but just, you know, keep it inside. And where did it happen? It happened in the men's room when there were three stalls in the old...
That was such a terrible
It was
facility.
A tiny little press box bathroom, three stalls packed in tight. And Tom and I walk in, I go to the far left and he goes to the far right.
These are in the urinals, yeah.
Yeah, the urinals. And there's the one open in the middle. And Brent Musburger walks in and gets into the middle urinal, and Tom looks at him and yells, "Brent!" And then remembers and says, "I'm good." And finishes what he's doing. So what Brent got was somebody he'd never met before yelling at him, "Brent! I'm good." And I was like, well handled, Tom. Well handled.
Way to control it.
Yep.
But he was able to put the genie back in the bottle.
I guess. I mean, to this, I mean, I doubt Musburger remembers it, but he must have been like, "What the hell was that?" Kang, you ever starstruck? You get to card shows and stuff, so I don't know if there's people there that.
Not at card shows, unless you're an '84 Tiger fan.
What about? what about you? I know you go to. You've been to games.
No, like first of all, I have been starstruck, and secondly, I've said dumb things to people I've met all the time. Like, remember the Lisa Leslie story last year?
Yeah, what did you say to her?
I ran to her at a nice mall in Florida because we were on vacation, and I, you know, worked up the courage to ask her for a picture with her and my nephew. And I turned around. I didn't know. I thought we should say something at this point. Like, the picture's been taken, and I turned around and said, "Hall of Fame career, huh?" Like, it was the only thing I could think of. It was terrible, so, right? Remember?
Hall of Fame career.
Because,
huh?
Yeah, I think she just got inducted. I can't remember. It was whatever. It was just. And she just looked at me and was like, "Yeah," and she left. It's
like, that's great. I got this approval from this young man for my career accolades. Thank you,
exactly.
Young man.
So that's when, like, that's like my Brent Musburger moment. That one's just saying something dumb.
And that's great.
The one time I was starstruck was Kobe Bryant's last game at the Palace. I made sure to go cover that game. And when I was starstruck was at the post game. He was going to come out to the media and everything because it was a farewell tour. Everyone knew it was his last year. And I was like, I'm going to ask him a question. I got to ask Kobe Bryant a question. And I pulled out my phone. I had, you know, taped everything for sound and whatnot. And I asked Kobe a question about the Piston fans and, you know, just the battles all the years with the Lakers and things like that. And so that was when I was like dude, I got to ask Kobe a question.
Are you shaky the whole bit?
I don't remember. I blacked out. No, no, but yeah, when you know you're about to say something or ask a question, I did kind of feel the heart racing a little bit, but because I've asked other athletes questions all the time before, but this was, I don't know, it felt different.
I understand. That's Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I still have it pinned to my Instagram, Kobe that Bryant, video. Yeah. So, actually.
All right. When were you ever starstruck, Gator? For Gator, it was Mario Lemieux. For me, it was Derek Jeter. For Kang, Kobe Bryant. And a great Lisa Leslie story. 248.
By the way, three pretty good names to bring up. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
that's not a bad trifecta.
Mario Lemieux, Derek Jeter, and Kobe Bryant, sure. You know what's funny is just telling these stories that give me sweaty palms.
Yeah, right,
I'm starting
right.
to have the same physical reaction. I don't know why. When were you ever starstruck by somebody? 248-539-9797. Lots to talk about in last night's Piston game. We'll get to that at 11:48. 97.1, The Ticket.
Wow, well, we got dumped with a lot of snow. More to come next week. The temperatures are absolutely going to be frigid. So make sure that your house is warm because obviously that's important to you. Well, lucky for you, the red, white, and blue trucks, they're everywhere. They belong to the expert technicians over at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and they're going to help you and your family stay warm this winter. But you don't just take my word for it. You can go ahead and check them out for yourself. They've got A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They got a ton of five-star reviews on Google. They've come out to my house a couple of times and really helped me out. And I know at this time of the year, it can be really stressful, particularly your furnace isn't working or you're concerned about your pipes bursting because it gets so cold. So whether it's your furnace or a water heater, a boiler, or water filtration, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Get to some Piston stuff coming up in 18 minutes. 248-539-9797. Nick, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, Nick.
All right.
My starstruck moment this past October, I was doing an election event at Cass Tech during the day of the Lions-Titans game.
Yeah.
And the headline speaker of the day was Isaiah Thomas.
Wow.
So I'm standing back there, and he walks in with the person from the campaign, and I looked at him, and I went back to 1989 high school, like looking at him going, oh, wow, that's Isaiah Thomas.
You totally fanboyed out, huh?
The only thing I'd say saving grace was, after being incredibly that nervous, stuttering person is standing there in front of him, I calmed down a little bit and got to have like a 10-minute conversation with him about his time in Detroit.
No way.
And basketball in general, and it was like one of the coolest moments after, of course, being a giant embarrassment.
So he had 10 minutes to kill, or he dedicated that time to you?
Yeah, he was there well before he got there before the event started, and they had four speakers that went up on the stage to rally the voters before he went up, and I just sat there, getting to chat with him.
That's awesome.
Really,
really cool.
Really, yes.
You know, that's the kind of thing that people would bid on, like
right,
big time
right.
money, and you got to do it. That's really, really cool. And good for you for rallying and getting your crap together, Nick, to be able to hold a conversation.
Nice.
Was there anything, any story he told or anything that really stood out?
I asked him a question about when they opened the palace. I built stages for a living. Yeah. And I asked him a question about if the rumor was true when they built the palace, if they actually did have the people come in from the local unions. And Davison basically said, all right, thank you all for coming. You're never coming into my building. Have a nice day. Please leave. And I asked Isaiah if he ever heard anything like that. He goes, the entire team heard about it. It was amazing.
Weird. Okay. 248-539-9797. Thomas is next. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Doug. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, so my starstruck moment was this past June. My wife and I had our first year anniversary, and we went to the Earl in downtown Ann Arbor. And, you know, we sit down and having a couple drinks and stuff. And I look up, I'm like, who? I know that lady. And I was talking to my wife and everything. I'm like, I think that's Sheila Ford Hamp. I'm like, Look, is that her? And sure enough, we're hearing her and her husband and a couple of her friends talk, like, oh, yeah, it was really good season and stuff. And then that's when I knew. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's Sheila Ford Hemp. And so my hands are sweating. I'm getting nervous and stuff because I wanted to say, you know, thank you and everything for what you've done for Detroit and everything. And we were at the two playoff games, actually. So, and when we were walking out, I was able to get enough courage to say thank you and everything. And she was nothing but nice and just outgoing and everything. So I thought that was pretty
good
cool.
Good for you. Well, good for you for taking advantage of that to say thank you because she deserves it. Let's go to Rob next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Oh, not much. Starstruck moment. 31 years and 2 days ago, as a matter of fact, my wife and I were in a hospital in getting ready to have our first child. And Kirk Gibson was there with they were about ready to have his fourth. And my wife and I were in our room and I looked out, you know, the door and walking by us, Kirk Gibson and his wife. And of course, you know, I'm not thinking, oh, she's might be in mid contraction or anything. I look over and I see him and I, hey, you're Kirk Gibson. He's like, yeah. good luck on your baby. He was totally cool. I mean, like, you know, he said, thank you so much, you know, and they continued on. And yes, she was, if I remember the way it seemed, she was definitely in mid-contraction. You know, he stepped out and then went into the waiting room and spent about 15 minutes with my father-in-law.
Cool.
He's a very cool guy. He, you know, wished us good luck on our baby to my father-in-law and stuff like that. And, yeah, it was interesting, though, just looking by and seeing him. And it's why I had met him and Dave Rosma years and years ago after they won the World Series. And before I think it was before Rosma went down to Texas or whatever. And we were shooting skeet. And, of course, I was like 14 at the time. And these two guys, they were so stinking huge, you know, to a teenage kid. But, yeah.
I love the line, good luck with your baby.
Yeah.
I think that's a great line. And we had the pleasure of working with Gibby here at the station. And Gibby was starting to play hockey right around the time I was starting to play hockey. I'd played for a little bit longer, and he loved sharing stories about. He took a guy into the corner once. I couldn't believe this was happening. He was telling me about how this guy tried to rough him up, but how he leveraged him up against the boards. But instead of just telling me, he had me like pinned up against the wall. And I'm just sitting there going, Kirk Gibson is currently literally got me pinned against a wall. He was also a big mountain biker too, which I am. So we shared some stories there, but that was awesome. And that's very, very cool. And I'm glad you had a good experience with him. I had nothing but great stories about Gibby.
Gibby's the best.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Bob next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're great.
All right, Bob.
Hey, my starstruck moment was I was in the one of the lounges at the stadium. And
what stadium?
Sid Abel.
Oh.
It was the hockey town.
Okay.
Anyway, I was with one of my friends, and Sid Abel was there, and my friend introduced me to Sid Abel. And I looked at him, and it looked like somebody put out a fire on his face with an axe. And he just stunned me. And they actually invited me up to his suite. And I went, wow, this is, you know, I was like speechless. You can't believe how somebody that great is that magnanimous.
What did you say about a fire in his face?
His face looks like somebody put out a fire on his face with an axe.
Okay.
Gotcha. With all the stitches and whatnot.
We're talking about this because Gator was watching the Four Nations thing last night, and they had Mario Lemieux being honored, and that was the one time that you were starstruck. We were in an elevator, and you were like, I don't. Did you start to like physically, you know, did you get sweaty palms?
Yeah, I mean, well, you were with me in the elevator. I was kind of like knocking to my elbow, dude.
What I remember about that is I was far more composed than you.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
But you've been around in locker rooms and
I know. Like you mentioned with you, it's Derek Jeter. I'm like, yeah. I remember interviewing Jeter at spring training in 2006 and
yeah.
I was fine.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yep.
I totally understand it. The only other person I can remember being that way around, it was waiting outside the Red Wing locker room to get in there after a preseason game against the Rangers after 9/11.
Yeah.
And while the reporters are waiting out there, the other person who was waiting out there was Anna Kournikova. And she's directly across me, like 5 feet away from me. And I look up and I'm just like staring like, oh my God, it's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And then she smiled at me. And I just, like Ken
said
earlier.
Yeah, she smiled at me too.
No, I literally blacked out. Like I think she could tell that I was enamored. And I just totally lost it.
What about Stone Cold Steve Austin? I thought you're a big wrestling guy.
Wasn't starstruck. No? It was awesome to have him in there. When he came into the studio with us, he spent, 20 minutes.
But you weren't starstruck.
No, it was just one of those things. He was so cool and so calming just right away and friendly when he came in right after we just finished a segment. So now we have a whole commercial break to hang out with him before we do our segment on the show with him. And it was like 4 or 5 minutes. And he was so kind and friendly. And we were talking college football with him. He was great.
I, of course, was starstruck.
I know you were. That's why I didn't ask you, Doug. You couldn't even speak.
I couldn't even ask him a question other than,
who are you?
George is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, George.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Okay, I originally called in with a Tom Cruise story, but I got one better, so hang with me. I met Tom Cruise walking out of the shelter underneath St. Andrew's Hall at 3 in the morning years ago. But as I'm sitting here on hold, I got one that tops everybody. So you guys remember the bar Jimmy Max?
No.
Nope.
It was a hockey bar in Grosse Pointe Park?
No.
Anyways, me and a couple of buddies went there. It was a blizzard. We had no idea there was a guest bartender for the night, and it was one and only Gordie Howe. And there was absolutely nobody in the bar because of the blizzard. I hung out and talked to Gordie Howe for 3 hours. It was the most incredible moment ever.
That's pretty great. Yeah. I don't know if that's being starstruck. If you got to talk to him for 3 hours and compose yourself.
Starstruck is
like you can't.
Are you Tom Cruise? That's getting to talk to him for 3 hours is.
You got over your fear and
yeah. Oh well, good for you. Steve, awesome. McComb, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Steve.
Hey guys, how you doing? Not much. So I got to go to an autograph signing with Steve Yzerman and Gordie Howe. And at the time, Stevie Yzerman was like my idol. Gordie Howe was my dad's. And when we went to go get the autograph, they're both sitting together. Gordie Howe asked me, "What's your name, son?" And I told him Steve. And he looks at Steve Yzerman and taps him on the shoulder and says, "That's a sissy's name." My dad, I've never heard him laugh harder in my entire life.
That's awesome. All right, Pistons with a win last night. And there are a couple plays in that game that were just wow. Just wow. We'll get to that today at 11:48. Next hour, another edition of Who's on Top. The best of what A.J. Hinch told the morning show before the show is done as well, including his thoughts on Bregman going to Boston. Hey, Detroit, a great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out, and that's where True Green comes in. They're the local experts in Detroit and the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. So they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. And here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it up with all the satisfaction you want, and it's all guaranteed. Not happy? They'll come back between visits and make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results. Doug Hirsch, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. So the Pistons win again last night. They win one game by 40, and the next night they come back as a 6.5-point favorite. The game started, and I got it at 5.5 after they were down 4-2 or 2-0 or 4-0 or whatever it was. And really kind of actually very surprised that that's what the point spread was, but then they went on and won by, 18?
One by 18.
Yep. There were a couple of incredible highlights in that game. One was Cade's switch-handed dunk where he goes up with his right hand Okay, so that was a
holy big giant clam.
Well, well done, Kang. You just had that on the ready. And then they, and the TV broadcast, they compared it to Jordan, who went up with the right hand, brought it back down, and laid it up with the left.
Oh, the unnecessary play he made in the finals?
Well, what was cool about that is he went up with the right hand and could have just put it in the basket, but then he unnecessarily brought it down and laid it up with the left hand. The most overrated highlight in the history of highlights.
Well, I'll give you one more, but I agree with you. I hate that highlight. What about the Jadeveon Clowney?
Oh, he went unblocked?
Like, yeah, where he's unblocked and blows up the player. Yeah. Wow, what a play. Well, I mean,
he was unblocked. And Vincent Smith was the running back?
Vincent Smith. Yeah,
I think his helmet was
helmet. The fact that his helmet popped off, it added to everything.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jordan play was completely unnecessary. Yep.
And Cade's, though, Cade actually kind of needed to do it. It looked like, I can't remember who did the flyby defensively, but he got the shot off cleaner and brought it back and dunked. The other was the alley-oop that they threw to Asar Thompson, and he caught it in the air with one hand and played it back. Was it Duren that was on the finishing play?
Yep.
And there was some stuff last night. And as far as Asar Thompson's concerned, is he starting to get his NBA sea legs here?
Well, 11 out of his last 13 games, he's been in double figures.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 19 last night, also hauled down, or also dished out, I should say, 7 assists with
and
5 rebounds.
And many of them spectacular. Like the kick out, again, I think they were like one-handed, where he barely hot potatoed the basketball to somebody else so quick that you barely knew he even had it. One was a 3 to Tobias Harris, but anyway, sorry.
No, it just, he's... You think about it, and this is a guy who's still only, he just turned 22, right? So he's young.
Yep.
And just kind of getting an opportunity to play, and he looks like he's developing just fine. I don't got to go too crazy because he's taking on the Bulls, and the Bulls are terrible.
The Bulls stink, and they've given up.
But to go 11 out of your last 13 games with double digits, and you're not the go-to guy. You're like the fourth, fifth, sixth option on the team, and yet you're the one who's contributing significantly. I think it speaks very well of him. And all at the same time that his twin brother is turning into quite the player in the NBA, I think there's a lot of promise and hope with this young man.
To answer your question, Doug, yes, I think he's getting his NBA sea legs. Like, he started the year off, he had the medical issues, so he couldn't play with the team, right? And then when you come back, you're in minutes restrictions and you're easing into it. Now that he's actually getting like consistent minutes and you look at his shooting percentage, they're really high because he's so damn athletic. He can dunk anything. He's always by the rim. When you guys talked to Tobias Harris to start the year and you guys asked him, I think, who stands out or anything like that, he brought up Asar Thompson, how athletic he is. And I thought he was athletic, but now that we get to see him more on a consistent basis, he's like ridiculously athletic.
Yeah, Asar Thompson started the year playing 15 and a half minutes a game. That jumped up to 18 and a half minutes a game, jumped up to 22 minutes a game. And now in February, in whatever, it's been 7 games, I think, 25 minutes a game. He's earning the minutes.
What's his shooting percentage in February? I bet it's pretty good.
Well, I don't know. If you think 69.5% is good...
There you go.
I mean, that's just wildly impressive what he has done. And all while averaging 14 and a half points a game in just the 25 minutes, this guy's getting it done, man.
He can defend. He can rebound. Now he's showing the ability to pass. Like, his assist totals. I'm going to look back at his game log here.
Well, he's averaged 4.4 assists in the month.
Okay, how many did he average last month?
The month prior to that was 1.3.
Okay.
And then 1.1 before that.
Okay. So he's starting to see the floor. He's starting to understand his role, his teammates, all of that. Asar Thompson is somebody that we should be pretty damn excited about on a team that is giving us a lot of reason to check in. Now, look, what are they? They're 3 above 500. We're at the All-Star break. They are, I had the standings right in front of me, but they're, what, 2 games out of a home court? Is that right? They trail Indiana by 2 games. Indiana's got the last home court spot in the playoffs. I got to tell you, a 4-5 Detroit-Indiana series, I would be stoked for that.
Well, that's definitely becoming a rival for the Pistons, which would be fun. Oh, they were so close. Indiana was getting killed last night, and then they storm back and end up winning the game.
You don't say.
It was brutal because it would have been obviously a big full game swing, but it's not. But there's lots of rivalries going, just budding right now for the Pistons in this division, in this conference, and we're here for it.
I think the realistic goal of home court, the four seed, is something that this team can shoot for. But, you know, dude, is this the real Pistons? Like, they're playing at a 667 winning percentage. I think they're 19-10. They're almost winning two out of every three games since they bottomed out in early December. And if that's who they are, then, hell, they may make a run at the Knicks.
Well, look, they've got some tough games
Knicks
coming.
Knicks are the third seed, by the way. That's why I said that. Go ahead.
When you get into the post-All-Star break schedule, I think there's a couple easy games right off the bat, and then it gets tough. Mm-hmm. Then they go out west and take on a trio of tough teams. In addition, I think Boston's in there. But then there's also some easier games after that, too. It's going to tell us a lot about who they are. Because they need to show up against a team like Indiana. They need to show up against a team like Boston. And when they take on the Clippers, they've got two games against the Clippers after the All-Star break and within a couple weeks of each other. I mean, that's a pretty good team in the Western Conference. And they played Denver, and there's a lot happening for them that I think we'll get a pretty good idea of how good this team really is over the next 15 games.
A full All-Star game audit of where the Pistons are right now. J.B. Bickerstaff feels like Coach of the Year material. Cade Cunningham, worthy All-Star. Asur Thompson, rising star in this league, and others fitting in nicely in all this, and they've lost what could be a critical piece, and that is Jaden Ivey. 248-539-9797. Coming up next hour, another edition of Who's on Top. Let's get to your phone calls. We go to Mark in Detroit. You're on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing? I wanted to say this. Nobody's mentioning this, but he's playing. If the Pistons finish 3 or 4, should Cade Cunningham be considered an MVP candidate, considering they were the worst team in the NBA last year and been the worst team to go from that to third or fourth? And with Ivy out, I think he should be considered as an MVP candidate.
Well, he's put up great numbers. Yeah. There's no question about that.
I would say that Mark, I give you credit because you're the first to have said this. I think what you just described is why J.B. Bickerstaff is a strong Coach of the Year candidate. I don't think Cade would get MVP consideration.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. J.B. Bickerstaff has done an outstanding job. And I'm going to tell you what really helped him out. Them bringing – I mean, Troy Weaver, he must not have a brain. He must be a lame brain. Because the veterans that he bought in, Trajan Laimet, was genius. And Beasley, I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was. We have got to keep him.
Yeah, I think they'll keep him. I think they'll hang on to him. I think it's clear he wants to be here. And
I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was that good. He's a good player.
Well, they've done some really, really good things this offseason, and the pieces fit together well. They're getting full buy-in and contribution. And look, becoming a playoff team makes you more viable in the offseason for a lot of additions. It also makes it way more viable that your young stars like it here and will stay here.
I love what Cade's doing. I mean, he threatens to have a triple-double every time he's on the court. He's had a bunch of them this year. As good as he's been, Nikola Jokic has actually averaged a triple-double this year.
Yeah.
So I love the MVP talk. I think it's way premature, but just the fact of what the team has done from one year to the next, it's not all Cade, but a lot of it is Cade. It's a lot of his development.
Mark, to his credit, did what a lot of us do. He just did it publicly, and that is be the first to claim something so you can. It gives you a lot of cachet with your friends when you're the first to bring something up and then you turn out to be right. That is currency amongst guys.
It is.
So if somehow, some way, Cade gets on the radar, I'm sure we will remember this call back in early February. I doubt he will, but I'm sure we'll remember this call. Hey, download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket on the app for a chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas. You could win $20,000 plus you and three friends will stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Vegas's premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. You can also listen to this show and all the shows here on 97.1 The Ticket with the Odyssey app. Listen anywhere in the country. Coming up next hour, another edition of Who's on Top later. The best of what A.J. Hinch told the morning show, including not getting Alex Bregman, his reaction to that. We'll talk about that next here on 97.1.